Real quick before we get into it, our Get More Bookings Bootcamp is open right now. Early bird is just $39 and that price is gone after September 8th. Head to thanksforvisiting.com/bookings to grab your seat now. That's thanksforvisiting.com/bookings to grab your seat now. You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home.
Hello, welcome back to another great episode. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. Let's start this episode like we do each and every week, and that is featuring one of our incredible strategic host clients and the incredible businesses that they're building. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
This week we are sharing strategic host Josh Peterson of PhDStays.com. Don't you love it? PhDStays.com. He focuses on collegiate properties. And so the one thing that I want to share with everybody is being focused on college. He has make sure his coffee bar is themed. His amenities are themed. Not too far.
No.
You'll hear him say in this episode he has a champagne taste. And you're going to hear about some of the things that I want to just weave into what he is doing with the stays. Sleep number beds. Top of the line OLED TVs, and also dueling Keurig and Nespresso machine. Choose your poison or pick your poison.
Your own adventure.
Choose your own adventure. But what I love most is you are going to hear the oozing, in a great way, of hospitality, but then woven in with the importance of looking at his numbers.
Yes. And Josh is no stranger to looking at numbers. So he is the founder of PhD Stays. And he leads with design-led decisions. And he says, like Annette mentioned, that a lot of the decisions he makes is based off of the things that he loves in his life, while without going overboard with it. But he was solving a problem because after too many mediocre hotel stays, traveling to UNC to watch his daughter play collegiate soccer, he and his wife, Allison, bought a home near campus, turning it into a high-performing five-star property. But he spent his career in e-commerce, digital marketing, and analytics for companies like Best Buy and Sleep Number, hence the fancy TVs and fancy beds. But it happens so often, and I know Josh would support what I'm about to say here. Josh is obviously brilliant. He's so smart. He knows how to read analytics. When you're so close to something that you're very passionate about, especially when it comes to hospitality and making guests happy, tying in the analytics and everything you learned from your corporate career, your past experiences, it can be hard to see the forest through the trees and apply that skill set to your new business, your new short-term rental business. But Josh has done a beautiful job of starting that business, setting one goal, and then completely crushing it the next year. And we can't wait to dig in to show you how he did it. Josh Peterson, this interview is long overdue. Welcome to the show. Why don't you kick off this episode by sharing with our audience a little bit about you pre-short-term rental investor and how you got into short-term rentals?
Yeah, well, thanks, Sarah. It's a delight to be here, and I'm really glad to be on the Thanks for Visiting podcast. It's something I've been listening to for a number of years and following along with, so it's fun to be a guest. But to start, I basically fell into short-term rental investing a little bit. Like any business, it started with a problem to solve. And my problem was traveling to see our daughter play soccer at her university was costing us lots of money. at the hotels. And we were visiting to Chapel Hill quite frequently to watch her play. And I realized there's got to be a better way at this. And so sure enough, I found the ability to buy property there, treat it as a second home. But then also I completely had a vision for it becoming a short-term rental, not only while we were using it, but also after our daughter graduated. And that's exactly what it's trying to be.
And shout out, daughter is now playing professional soccer.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Wait, I need to know a little bit
and
about
just,
that.
And just... made a debut, and maybe she'll be back at the U.S. women's team too.
What?
So yes.
Yes, yeah. these are big things she's accomplished. She she left college in January of her junior year. So she completed her junior season. She had accomplished all she wanted to because they won the national title in soccer.
Which is a great story. We don't have enough time, but Sarah, we'll tell you the national championship story on the side because it's goosebumps.
Okay.
It is a fun story. It's a story of initial failure and followed by some great success for her and for her team. And so that's a good one. But at any rate, after winning the national title, she decided, well, what else is there to do here? Obviously, get her degree was one thing that we cared about as parents. And sure enough, she's doing that. She's going to graduate this May. But she left last January. She's been gone now for a year and went pro. And she's with the Seattle Reign out in Seattle. And living her best life. She's just 21 years old and is a professional. And as Annette just alluded to, she made her debut with the U.S. women's national team, or the team that I like to call the best soccer team in women's sports.
Yeah, it is. Real quick. Isn't Columbus trying to get the professional women's soccer games to play here or something?
And they did just play here. But yes, trying to get more. Yes,
that's
yes,
amazing. Yes. What position does she play?
She's a forward, and just what's interesting about Columbus is that they're on the list for expansion in the NWSL. And the NWSL is the top league in the United States for women. It's the league that she is in. And there are 14 teams that have just expanded to 16. Atlanta is next, so I'm excited about that. But Columbus is on the list for future expansion. And there is plenty of growth and plenty of opportunity in that league. It's up and coming for sure.
And so cool.
And let's make that relatable to hosts really quick. This is the stuff that is going on in your community.
Right.
I think, you know, all of us know about the FIFA coming to town, but there are other localized events like this happening all the time that people are, I know Josh and his wife and family actually just traveled to several different games, you know, and looking for accommodation. So this is one of those things, if you are not paying attention to the event calendar in your town, all of us have something that's special in your town that's happening that you could host amazing guests. And then I love Josh too. I'm sure there's many listeners that have their kids going off to school soon, and they could be making an investment for them, for themselves, for the future. So you're not staying. Are you staying in Chapel Hill anymore now that she has moved on?
No, it's turned into a full-fledged rental. It has been since she basically left last January. So 2025 was my first year in as an all-in investment property strategy. And it was a great year.
Let's talk about the year, because we'll do a little spoiler alert. You just closed on your second property, right?
I did.
Okay.
Yes.
So we're not regressing. We are progressing and we are adding to the portfolio. So it must have been a good year, 2025.
It was a great year. Yeah. Thanks for asking. I certainly grew revenue pretty significantly. I grew about 35% this past year. And in fact, that has continued now into Q1, which is also great. But I came looking for you all. I've been close to you all for a while, but I was looking for strategic host after missing out on my second property. I had put in an offer and got beat out in multiple offers, and I was really bummed out about it. And my wife and a few of my close friends said, well, why don't you just go back to working on the Petri dish that is your existing property and see if you can get it to be optimized, get it to scale the way you want it, get it to be profitable the way you want it. And so I came back to you all in Strategic Host in need of some support to get there. I kind of knew what to do, but I didn't know exactly how to do it.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what I didn't know, as you would say, Sarah. So I had some learning to do with Thanks for Visiting.
Well, that's really interesting that your close community, your wife said, yes, it stinks you didn't get that property, but why don't you go and maximize what you have? Because I think so many people think about scaling as in getting more properties, acquire more properties to your portfolio. So now being on the other side of that advice, are you grateful for it that you did it that way instead of just adding that second property? Or talk me about being on the other side now. How does it feel optimizing what you already had first?
Yeah, there are always learnings that come with those, you know, what feel like mistakes or misses or losses, you know, whether it's on the cyber field or with short-term rentals. But I felt like I had a loss. I felt like something didn't happen. And to be honest with you all, I had gotten deep on it. I was watching this property for 4 months before I put an offer in. It was sitting, it was priced too high, and I knew it. I wasn't going to overpay. I'm a smart investor. But I was designing.
I was going to say, didn't you do some design?
I did. Yes. I had plotted it all out. I was set to go. I was ready. And I put that offer in, and sure enough, it didn't go. But it turns out there was one thing I was very nervous about, and that was it's on a very busy street, and the access in and out of it is a little bit difficult. And so I was imagining my future renters struggling, especially late at night, getting off that busy road, getting into the property itself, finding their way to the front door, and doing all the things that we know guests have to do every time they check in. And so as it turns out, the property that I did find is close by on a less busy street, has a lot more going for it than this particular one did. And I'm set to close here in the next months, which is awesome.
So cool. Okay.
What? I want to go back to the statement. You didn't know what you didn't know. Let's dive in to Strategic Host. You had a profitable property. It was working for you. Or you had a property that you obviously had bought for a multitude of reasons. And then it needed to become a profitable property for you. What are some of those things that you didn't know that you are now like eyes wide open and you're going forward and you can bring into the second property from day one?
Well, it was pretty interesting to start because as a second home / short-term rental in my first year, which was 2024, I was blending the two strategies of trying to stay there, but also trying to rent it out. It gave me the luxury of time in terms of setting it up and getting it right. In fact, I used a lot of Thanks for Visiting Assets and the podcast to help me do that, which was great. But once I got rolling, I said to myself, I'm like, all right, I'm pretty sure I just kind of threw the dartboard and said, I can hit 100 nights and $500 ADR and get to $50,000 in revenue first year, no problem. And sure enough, I was darn close. I just came in over that number. I made my goals. I was happy about it. But the truth was, you know, it was not yet a profitable venture. It was not yet at the revenue I wanted, but it was really, really a good start. And I thought, well, how do I accelerate that? And so then 2025 came along, and now our daughter had left for pros, and this is now a full-term rental. So I'm like, okay, maximization time, optimization time, here we go, let's scale. And the truth was, I didn't know what I didn't know, and that was, I didn't know that I should expect more out of my occupancy. I was sort of, you all do a nice job in Strategic Host of kind of painting archetypes of hosts. I fit one of your archetypes very, very well. I was the host who thought I had the amazing property. I should expect high ADR. I didn't give a damn about my occupancy. I was that guy. And
overconfident, you know, Bob, for those of you that have not been in one of our boot camps, we have overconfident Bob here on the line.
That is exactly who I was and have retreated to on occasion, but for the most part, ditched that archetype. And now I'm living as host C, Carla.
Yeah. Strategic host so, Carla, yes.
Yeah, there we go. At any rate, what was interesting about year two then was I didn't know what I didn't know. And my occupancy was hovering around 40%. And, you know, so I'd done the 100 nights in the first year where we all know that's not 40%. That's about less than 30. So I'd accelerated occupancy nicely. But I was this Thursday through Sunday property. I was this, you know, in this college town where the weekend demand was strong. But there was just nobody staying at my 3-bedroom home during the weekday. And I couldn't figure out why. And I didn't really know to expect anything different out of it. I thought, well, maybe this is just the way that it is. And it wasn't until we got into Strategic Host when I realized, oh, I should expect more from this. I can really work on this. And we did some really good testing together. I worked with your revenue manager to really figure out how to get weekday occupancy up without giving up my weekend, you know, that were so dominant for me. And sure enough, that absolutely proved to be true. My occupancy went from 40% to now it's hovering at 55%, and it's dramatically different. And I did not know that I needed to expect something better in my business. And sure enough, I can and I should.
And how is that going to carry forward now that you're projecting for the second property? How are you basing your just future planning on that property off of what you've learned? And then are you looking at data now, just already trying to forecast that home?
Yeah, the good news is, number one, I did the thing I should have done with the second home to begin with, which was build a pro forma before writing any offers. And I did a little bit of air DNA research. When I bought the first property, I was like, what's air DNA? I don't know. But now I had access to industry insights. I had access to my own property. And I had the forethought to really build a pro forma that said, okay, conservatively, what do I think I can achieve here? And I used my existing 3-bedroom, 3-bath home to project what my new 5-bedroom, 5-bath home might do. And I knew that by being conservative with that, you know, and buying a bigger property, I should be in a pretty sweet spot to be able to execute that pro forma and in fact exceed that.
I want to give you a little grace. I want to offer you some grace, Josh, because Annette and I, we work with lots of hosts, and they have either their overconfident Bob or we have anxious Annie that we talk about. But I will tell you, Josh, a lot of people do the pro forma and they do gather industry stats from AirDNA or Price Labs or wherever, but then they don't work the plan, right? They take these numbers and they say, okay, and yes, in real estate, it's all about you make your money when you buy. At the same time, though, you have to run your property as a business, or all that pre-planning goes out the window. So yes, you've got to do that goodbye, but you have to be able to run it, especially when it's a short-term rental. And so you learned your lesson there. You'll do the pro forma, but now you also are going to run it like a business and stay on top of your projections and make sure that you meet those goals and you're able to test those goals. It's not just going to be off of instinct. I know you, it's going to be off of what the data is telling you, and you're going to be positioned so much better than so many hosts out there. So I just want to offer you that grace.
What was that? What was the help all of us with it, especially everyone listening, from the 40 to 55% occupancy, that midweek stay, what was the needle mover for you on that?
You know, it wasn't what I thought it might be. And I actually have not tested what I thought it might be just yet. I'm still debating if I should.
Okay.
I know a lot of people have had success, and I think I will have success with my next property on parent-child listings and running my property a little bit more flexibly. It was something I really didn't fully understand until getting into strategic post. And it's something that I know a lot of my peer group has had success with, and you all have had success with as well. The challenge for me was, I think there's a demand for the home that I have there, but maybe it is as an existing 3-bedroom, 3-bath. And there are people coming to town for various activities and events during the weekday that I'm just not capitalizing on yet. So I started with my listing as is and said, how do I fix this? And so in working with Colleen, your chief operating officer, we worked together on a testing plan. And I just want to give a little shout out to testing for a second, because We all run a digital asset. We all have a digital property. It's a listing on the OTAs, right? It's a listing on our own direct revenue, direct booking site. And when we do that, we've got access to the analytics behind it, whether that be through Airbnb directly or through Google Analytics and all of that. And I've got a lot of history and data in my corporate life prior to this of really measuring and understanding the analytics. And so I went to work on that and said, all right, how do I unlock my conversion rate during the weekday when there's still demand in this marketplace for it? I just have to figure out how to do that. And so Colleen and I figured out, we actually tested it one way and then we modified it. But we took a pricing strategy that dropped my base rate, preserved my weekend ADRs, and I started to get bookings. And then we decided to actually flip the model and accelerate my base rate because the weekends was still my top priority. It was almost like I'd gone a little bit too far the other direction. And so we said, let's keep the base rate high at Price Labs. Let's keep the weekend success. Let's add a far out premium to make sure that we're capitalizing on any future demand that's still out there. My property books and books and books on those weekends, 80%+ occupancy. It was those weekdays I needed to solve. And so then by tweaking that and having that be strategy number two, I looked at all of that as upside. I knew I would take some ADR hit there, but I knew I could increase occupancy from the 40, hopefully to the 55. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened.
I love that. Okay. I want to change the numbers are great. And I'm sure Annette's going to bring us back to them. But you've learned so much from running your Chapel Hill property and you set it up in 2024. You're a different Josh, right? You're a strategic host, Carla, now. When it comes to your new property, your 5-bed, 5-bath with an ADU, operationally, what are you excited that you know now that you didn't know then to implement? Whether that's an amenity that you have to have that you maybe were sleeping on for a while, maybe it's something with your team. What's something exciting that you are going to implement into that new property right away?
I'm gonna start with one of my successes, I believe, because I've gotten a lot of review feedback on it. But I have champagne taste as an individual. And I have champagne taste as a host. And my wife, Allison, kept saying to me as I was setting up property number one, she was like, I know this is our second home, but pretend it's at NC State. Don't have the same feelings about NC State that you do about UNC. Don't overspend.
Okay, but if you're an NC State fan out there, no hate. It's all good. Yes. It's all good. You might like the champagne of beers over there, but it's okay.
We love the Wolfpack too.
Yeah, we love the Wolfpack too.
I'm going to love it in the future too, because I'd love to have a property there someday. It's a great university. With this first one, I wanted to do a couple of things. And so I focused on, without designing too much for myself, because I know that's a risk, but I had come out of a long career at Best Buy and then at Sleep Number, working for these large retail corporations. And so I had to have Sleep Number beds in all of the bedrooms. So I spent money on that. I prioritized sleep.
You invested.
Yes, I invested in Sleep Number beds. And then I also invested in high quality televisions. I bought my own favorite brand, LG Smart TVs, for the property. I only have a couple of them, but I really focused on that. And then I focused on, Best Buy also sells small appliances. And so I bought the Nespresso and the Keurig for my coffee bar to really give guests some options for coffee. And I thought, if I nail sleep and I nail coffee and I nail entertainment, I've got it.
Wait, okay, hold on. So much to unpack. The Sleep Number beds. How much is a Sleep Number bed?
They are not the least expensive beds out
there.
That's
okay.
Yeah, but I paid about $1,500.
I was going to say, you got some friends there still. We got some friends.
That's actually a lot
Sleep
less.
Sleep Number friends.
That's less than I thought they were going to be. So talk to us. What was the ROI on that, as Annette said, investment? Be honest, like, do guests really mention it? Do they love it? And I don't know. I've never slept in a Sleep Number. Isn't the one with like the remote control and you can like make your sleep custom to you?
Yeah, I think if two people in the bed, they get to choose their.
Yeah, tell us all about it. I need to know more. Do I need to buy one?
I love the beds. I have them throughout my very residence and now throughout my second home. And I will likely be buying them for my new property as well.
Yeah.
But at any rate, they are fully adjustable on both sides of the bed. And so you can sleep different than your partner. Now, the risk of this, which I knew going in, was that we liked to joke at Sleep Number that they are not a great one-night stand bed. You kind of have to find your setting.
Right. Find your groove. Stella's got to find her groove in the Sleep Number.
And so I worried a little bit about guests being able to do that if they're there for two nights, three nights, that kind of thing. So what I have done is set it to a level that I think they're going to like, and then given them some clear instructions and left them kind of on the nightstand next to the bed to say, okay, here's your remote. Here's how to adjust. Go find your Sleep Number setting and hopefully you'll sleep great. Now, from an ROI perspective, I've seen at least enough in my reviews to know that comfortable sleep comes back all the time. Occasionally the brand gets referenced, which is also great. And I certainly reference the brand in my materials and on my listing up front. I want to take advantage of the fact that these are really high quality beds.
Mm-hmm.
And so far that appears to be working.
Wonderful. That is very cool. And I feel like, I don't know how you handle this, Josh, but the way you just explained it to me is like, my host is telling me like, hey, I've set it to my favorite preference. I think you're going to like it too. But, and then here's how you can change it. I mean, that in itself is an experience. And even if it's like the placebo effect of, oh, it's a Sleep Number. I know it's an expensive bed. I've got this remote control. My host recommended. It's like when the chef sends you out a recommended dish,
mm-hmm.
whether or not you would have liked it, given it another scenario, you have that experience surrounding you. And I love that, especially coming out of the Airbnb gold rush, if you will, of 2020 to 2024, where everyone was buying the Amazon hybrid foam mattresses, that you've gone to this luxury level. And I think $1,500 is that bad. Well,
times five, times,
well,
you know.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's going to be a
cost. It's like 3X. It's like 3X.
It's revenue. You're hearing it in the reviews. You were also staying there. So if you are a Sleep Number, you know, aficionado like you are, you knew when you were going to be there that you and your family would sleep well. So
I'm
put
a
that
fan.
At the top priority.
Okay. All right. So then I also need to know about these LG TVs. So I don't know much about electronics in that way. I thought all smart TVs, unless you were the frame TV because you're flat, we're all the same, but that's obviously not true. An LG smart TV.
Yeah,
is
are
better.
They like Mensa status?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, the there's a new technology, not that new, but a relatively new technology in televisions called OLED, and LG
is that OLED?
That's correct.
Oh, yes. I just thought it was OLED. I didn't know it was OLED. I thought it was like OLED.
OLED.
You could call it that too. That works totally.
Okay.
Well. But yeah, OLED or OLED is an enhanced version of LED, or what you might remember as LCD or plasma. Those were the first initial flat panel televisions way back in the day. I can admit that I worked at Best Buy when those first flat panels came out, and boy, did we make a lot of money off of those for sure. Mm-hmm. But LG was a bit of an unknown brand and really has made their name with OLED televisions. I absolutely love them. They have the truest blacks and the best color saturation out there. They give you a really immersive experience. And so that, in combination with my Sonos soundbar and my Sonos subwoofer, both in the primary bedroom and in the living room, give guests what I like to say is just an optimal enhanced experience. And it's perfect for my rental.
Love it. So okay. Will those things be brought into rental number two?
They will. Yes, absolutely. So that's where I'm going to have to really prioritize those investments, because those are going to be significant.
Yeah.
But again, I'm trying to create 5-star stays. I want reviews. I know I operate like you all do, which is I get a dopamine hit each time I get a 5-star review. It's the best feeling in the world. And especially when they say this is the best Airbnb I've ever stayed in. And I have countless numbers of those. And so I really take a lot of pride in that for sure. And this new house is a little bit of an upscale version of my existing home. It's an even higher end property, and it happens to be by Duke University. So it's just 15 minutes away from my Chapel Hill property. So now I've got the opportunity to leverage my team that's on the ground. I'm remote, so I need a team there, and I've got a really strong team. I have an inspector at the property who will inspect the second property. I've got some great cleaners. I've got the handyman and all the resources I need in that area. So that's a huge win for me as I think about investing in all of those luxuries. I need really strong operations to try to get this to be profitable quickly.
And I want to unpack that for a moment, because I remember having a conversation on a Hot Seat call with, I don't know if you were on this one, Josh, or not, but someone was asking, okay, I want to invest in their property. What market is the hottest market? Where should I be investing? And I understand that. And there are some really great secondary markets out there that have a lot of upside, a lot of chances for growth. But what people don't factor into the spreadsheet is finding that team and how long it's going to take you to find that team. So why not, I still want you to buy right, but why not lever the team and the systems that you've already put in place, especially when it's an operation heavy business like short-term rental. So I think that was really smart of you, Josh. It's like you build up this team. It's like, why build up that whole team, that whole infrastructure, and then go and do it again in a different market just because why? Some guru told you to, you know what I mean? Like, it's just something I want people to consider when you're thinking about adding to your portfolio, is how can you leverage what you've already built?
And if you want to get, and I know you worked on this in Strategic Host, Josh, if you want to get direct bookings, if you want to have your own direct booking site, if you want those repeat guests, you want to own that, the reservation, it does make more sense to have it localized there, 'cause like you just said, you're only 15 minutes apart. So let's say one is booked, they can stay at the other, vice versa. Maybe they have a parent group, right, that they can share recommendations with. I'm sure that was part of the decision-making process too. How does direct booking, how does that weave into all of this now for you?
It's a great question. You know, this is I'm a little bit of the shoemaker's kid example, where I didn't do the things I knew I needed to do right away. Just a fun story to kind of rewind for you. I started Best Buy early enough that I joined BestBuy.com in 1999. So I like to say that I've been working in digital marketing and e-commerce since the last century, which kind of
is not wrong. You're not wrong.
But also seasoned, you know, and experienced. And I went from, you know, working on that website for many years and then pivoting to Sleep Number and really working on their e-commerce business as well and finding all the challenges that that entailed with trying to sell a mattress to somebody online when they maybe haven't laid on it. That's a really, really tough ask. And you can imagine that the conversion rates are difficult. You know, the funnel is challenging. And so I came into short-term rentals with all of this digital understanding of how a consumer funnel works. And sure enough, Airbnb has that at your disposal inside the professional hosting tools. And so I've been following that really, really closely and trying to move my conversion rate to where I think it needs to be and should be. And luckily, Strategic Post was really helpful in setting some parameters for me. And again, I didn't know what I didn't know. Is this good? Is this bad? Turns out numbers are really strong and really good there. And any kind of hiccup I might have, I can pinpoint maybe why and go address it and go tackle it to get it right back on track to being the best in the market. That's my objective, is to have that best in the market consumer flow where they're on Airbnb researching my property and they're converting with me and not with somebody else. So at any rate, the thing I was doing as the shoemaker's kid was I wasn't building my own direct website. I had mistakenly thought it would be hard because I'd been a part of these two really big retail websites. I thought about the platform that was involved in those. I thought about the scale of those. I thought about the customer data of those. I thought about all the things I might need and didn't realize that, oh my gosh, our industry is full of now property management software that does all of that for you. You can literally have a website built in 10 minutes. And I spent 6 months helping Best Buy build theirs back in 99.
You almost knew too much.
You can do it fast. Exactly. Yes, I knew too much. And so I sort of avoided it. And the other problem I was having was that I was allowing Airbnb to create my demand for me. And it's a great marketing engine. There's no question about it. I really appreciate what Airbnb does for me. I am not one to bitch and moan about the fees that they charge. But I understand why they've earned the right to do some of that. And good on them. My job is to diversify and to get other OTAs live and to have my own direct booking site live. And I did not have those things going into Strategic Host, and I now do. It was as simple as getting a property management software, spending that little bit of time to get those assets live. And now I'm running at least three channels of distribution between Airbnb, direct, and Vrbo. I'm still 80% plus Airbnb, but it is starting to shift. And I've got some good goals in place for 2026 that I know are going to help my profitability. It certainly will help my revenue to have it spread across all three platforms, but it's going to be even more crucial for my profitability to have direct and Vrbo pick up some of the slack.
Well, and you want to buy more properties in the area, right? There's another section of that region that you want to buy a property in. Like, what are your goals? How many properties would you... Obviously, things can change, but as of today, Josh, where do you want to be 3 years from now? How many properties do you want?
I'd set my sights a while ago that I wanted to conclude 2028 with five. And I've turned my focus into my guest avatar is someone like myself. It's a parent of a college student. It's an alum of a university. It's somebody on, you know, not only weekends, but hopefully weekdays. To these universities, and it runs off of the college calendar. My business in Chapel Hill really runs off of their academic calendar, graduation, all of those kinds of things, parents' weekend, and of course the athletic OSU also. So I am focused on universities and focused on that guest avatar of affluent alums and parents. I am not targeting college students. This home is not for you. It's too nice. It was too nice for our daughter to even stay in Chapel Hill. We wanted to send her elsewhere. But I'm now trying to expand in some of those college markets. And luckily, part of the reason I am where I am is that I'm in the research triangle. There are three big universities real close to me. Duke is the second one now. So UNC and Duke, and you can guess where I might be going next. It's to that university I was making fun of a little bit earlier. But certainly Wake Forest is close by, and certainly outside of North Carolina, should I so choose, is a place I might go. Now, what's interesting about this is I think some of the gurus in our space would say, widen your aperture, look further, use the full country, look at a variety of markets. Don't niche down into just university towns and that sort of thing. But the truth is, I'm super passionate about this. And I think this is the right thing for me. This is my purpose. I'm clear on it. I am an avatar. That's helpful, I think, for the most part, as long as I don't spend too much on my guests and all the luxuries I want to put in there. But being kind of knowing who I'm going after, knowing what my purpose is in this business, I can be very targeted. And so I have other college markets in mind as well that I will consider. But I was laser focused on getting one near Duke just so that I could leverage all of the operations that I already had there.
And then so your repeat clients are going to be on this, you know, 4 to 6 year cycle of not having, and once you are around long enough and you encourage them to refer you to other parents that they might know. I mean, this is an incredible niche client base that you can build for yourself. It's not going to be immediate, but all your efforts for Book Direct, all your email efforts, all of your boots in the ground manual efforts aren't going to go wasted because you have decided to stay niche. You know who your client is, and you're going to be able to leverage your operations. I think this is a great investment decision for you and your family, and you're going to be the best at it because it's what you do.
Love it. So, Josh, where can our listeners, if they are traveling to those areas, where can they find you? Do we put the link in the show notes for them?
Yes, I'm the founder of PhD Stays. It's named as such because it's near universities. It also happens to stand for Peterson Hospitality Design because, well, I like puns or whatever you want to call that. You can find me at phdstays.com. That is the direct booking site I have. It's currently got one property. Soon to have two. I'm expanding to Duke University by this summer, in time for fall football, in time for the fall academic calendar and move-in weekend. And I've got a ton to do between now and then in terms of closing, furnishings, a little bit of reno work too, to get this thing ready to roll. But that's where you can find me is at phdstays.com or on Instagram at phdstays.
Great.
I love the branding. That's so good. And Annette and I are excited to follow along. And we're just so grateful that you're in our world, Josh. You're an incredible host. So thanks for all that you do.
And before we wrap up, though, Josh, I just want to one final question, because you have a very storied digital career. You know what you like and what you love in hospitality. But what is the reason that you decided, after already investing in the home, investing in all these top quality amenities, why did you decide to invest in yourself in joining Strategic Host?
That's a great question, Annette. And there's a couple of reasons for it. I didn't know what I didn't know. And there was some opportunity to really learn some things. But more importantly, I needed community. And as it turned out, you know, I had moved, my family had recently moved to Atlanta, Georgia, for my wife's profession. She took a new job here. And so we left the confines of Minnesota, where I'd spent the rest of my life, and are now in a completely new market. And that's great. We're having all the new experiences that you're going to have. I just went to the Masters this weekend, which was amazing because that's an easy drive. But at any rate, moving to Georgia and working on a business that's in North Carolina, I felt a little bit isolated and I was missing connection. I was missing connection with the coworkers I used to have in corporate America. I was missing connection with other hosts. I was missing some guidance and some board of directors in my business to help me move it forward. And luckily, my wife and good friends are really great at picking up the slack on that, but they have full-time jobs and busy lives as well. And so I found Strategic Host looking for not only the expertise of you all as leaders, but really, as importantly, finding the community within it. And I found a great group of hosts that were going through many of the same things I was going through. They were at similar points in their journey. They were struggling with profitability. Maybe they were one property hosts, maybe they were five, maybe they were co-hosts. We all come in different flavors, but nonetheless, there was this community of really like-minded people. And I think you two draw a certain type of host. And I know that I'm that type of host. And I knew that I wanted to find other types of hosts that were just like me. And I'm still connected to those people today. In fact, I have some standing sessions with many of them. In fact, I had to move today's standing session to record this podcast. So thank you for the community you have. Thank you for letting me into the community. I've absolutely loved being a part of it, and I expect to continue to be a part of it for years to come.
Awesome. Love it, Josh.
Thank you.
Josh, thank you so much for your time and for telling your story. With that, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting.
Talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Before you go, early bird tickets for the Get More Bookings Bootcamp are still available for $39 through September 8th. But after that, the price goes up. So head to thanksforvisiting.com/bookings to snag your spot at the early bird price. Cannot wait to see you there.